Hello there, this is Terry Denise, a Lansing Community College student and your host of Ripper, an LCC Connect podcast where I interview others and ask about their unique efforts and connections in, around, and beyond the community of Michigan's capital city. Hello, how are we doing today?
Really good.
All right, who am I speaking with?
My name is Emily Walensky.
Right. And Emily, where
you can call me Goblin.
Goblin? I love it. Is that Goblin is also a great band. That's they do the themes for the old horror movies.
Oh, nice.
Back in the day. So, Emily, I am so glad to see you. I have known you for many years. And I was actually inspired to bring you on as a guest onto Ripper today because I missed one of your events that were going on, and I was very disappointed, but I wanted you to get the information of your event out. So if you could first go on, what is it that you are doing right now, local events around Lansing area? What's the name of the event that I missed, first of all?
So the name of the event changes slightly per event because it's a lunar-based dance circle.
Okay.
So that is the gist of what I'm putting on.
Okay.
Co-hosting with a good friend who's a DJ. He goes by Lil Rock.
All right.
So we've been jokingly referring to ourselves as Big M and Lil Rock.
I love it.
If you saw us in person, this would be hopefully exceptionally charming to you because I am small in stature and he is large in stature. And so we are co-creating kind of a hybrid event of, yeah, like a little bit of like meditation on the astrology, and then as well as... if you've heard of ecstatic dance, that would be kind of the genre or the style of event dance-wise that we're sort of emulating or, you know, kind of drawing from.
Okay.
As a person who's been a dancer for a long time, I came up like in the rave scene in the late 90s. And dance has always, and movement has always been just a very healing, therapeutic experience for me. And when I started studying astrology, there was a lot of interest in like working with some of these different healing modalities, kind of bringing them together. So this has been kind of a vision I've had for a few years. And I would say it's still being honed a little bit because, you know, this upcoming event will be our third one. We started out with the Aquarius new moon at the end of January. That was called the Dance of the Water Bearer.
Ooh.
And the second event we just had was the Dance of the Two Fishes for the Pisces new moon on the 1st of March is when we held that. And this next event will be called, let me reference, I like to get a little wordy. Balancing Fire, a Dance for the Full Moon in Libra on April 12th at Love Light Collective, which is a local yoga studio in Old Town.
Okay.
And a really beautiful, like very magical space. So we're kind of leading like a meditation circle, introducing ourselves, kind of offering the opportunity to share what brought you there, what your interest in the event is, and then I share a little bit about some of the archetypes of the current lunation and the transits that are kind of like playing into that.
Okay.
I try to keep it very inclusive, you know, for kind of like you could know a lot about astrology, you could know nothing about astrology. Astrology is one of those topics that can make people's eyes roll into the back of their head when you're speaking to them about it. So my goal is to like draw people in, meet them where they are, offer some invitations for working with the lunation. This upcoming one being a full moon will be kind of our first experience working with that.
Oh.
I work with the new moon and the full moon a little bit differently.
Okay.
So I'm calling this when I'm throwing an event on the full moon, it's party moon.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And it's kind of a little bit of a party either way. But I think a full moon, like with the energy being like a culmination of the lunar energy, and just sort of a little bit more of like a release kind of a dynamic.
Okay, yeah. So that makes sense. New moon, it's usually pretty dark out, kind of. So is a new moon get together or event much more kind of subdued?
I mean, I think that it sort of depends on the sign that the moon is in.
Ooh.
You know, I like to kind of speak to the quality of, you know, the moon in each sign, just like design sort of the approach to it, like just very energetically, like what that, like either my personal like association with the archetype, because like I'm an Aquarius rising. So like throwing my first event on like the Aquarius new moon was very, to me, very symbolic of this long-standing like desire I have to bring people together in community.
Mm-hmm.
Just a bit of an Aquarian kind of humanitarian sort of inclination. And it was a very cool experience. We basically didn't know who was going to come or if anyone was going to come.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty small, like intimate group, but I felt like it was exactly, there were like certain intentions that I put into it. And one of them was like trying to not like be too perfectionistic or too expectational with it, and just to meet it wherever it was. And so I think for me, that was a really great exercise and just like releasing control or like expectation around things. So I think with the new moon for me, I generally work with it in a way that I'm like planting seeds, mm-hmm. Manifesting. Sometimes it's manifesting something I want to release, which can be sort of a little bit more of like a full moon kind of a practice.
Mm-hmm.
I just try to let each lunation like sort of speak to how I work with it, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. So with the Pisces new moon, I actually had to, because it's Pisces is a polarity with Virgo, and I have Sun and Mercury conjunct in Virgo, actually at the degree of the lunar eclipse that's about to happen. So I'm a little jazzed / freaked out about that.
Okay, so let's put a pause for one moment, because you have said a lot of things. So let's start somewhere. So we're in a certain point in your personal life where looking at the stars, looking at the moon, looking at the sun is a thing, a heavy thing, an important thing for you. For me personally, I love celestial everything. I love space. I love our venture into the yonder and where we're going from that, and how we correlate with everything just in the universe, and how we are all just, you know, whatever Moby said, we're all just, what was it? Space dust space, or something? We're all just stars. Yes. We're all just stars, right? So with that, going into that area, there are a lot of individuals that are just like, I'm just here because I found an interest. Somebody brought me into looking at a book. I saw something that had my birthday in there, and I was like, oh, what is this? Why is there a little animal attached to it, or anything like that? So I was just wondering personally where in your life we are right now on your astrological venture, and like what got you into anything and an interest of anything at all, and how you became so depthful in this art. I consider it an art of life.
So. Yeah, I definitely think astrology is like, well, it's the oldest science. It's also definitely an art and a science. It's a language.
Mm-hmm.
So I have studied the language and I speak it fairly fluently now.
Mm-hmm.
But that was not always the case. I started studying. I've always been interested. Like I always would read like my star sign or sun sign horoscope in like Teen Magazine or 17 Magazine. So you can maybe date me a little bit from that. But I would always be like, that's not me. Like, my room's a mess. Like, I'm not a Virgo. And so I was like very like, I think that was like very Aquarian of me to be like, don't label me. I'm not what you think I am. Mm-hmm. But I was always sort of like interested, even though I didn't like what it was saying about it.
Would you go, I often found myself doing this as going through all of those kinds of horoscopes that are just printed in magazines and newspapers and going like picking through.
I actually wish I would have, because I think I might have connected me more toward the fact that we all have every sign of the zodiac in our chart. It mm-hmm. is a composite of all of these different archetypes. And so, yeah, it's easy to get fixated on like sun sign or, but when I learned about my moon sign, that was like worlds shattering for me in a useful way.
So sun sign, by the way, is legitimately the
place in your horoscope, the zodiacal wheel where the sun was at the time of your birth.
Okay.
So every time you celebrate a birthday, it's a solar return. The sun is back in the sun takes about a year to transit all 12 signs. Okay. Whereas the moon takes a month, about a month to go all through the signs. So that's why the moon is actually very great to work with.
Right. It's very telling because it's going at a faster pace through our personal.
Yeah. Every few days, every 2.5 days or so, you get into a new sign.
Two and a half days.
The moon is in Virgo right now, and then it'll do its eclipse there, and then it'll move into Libra and on through the wheel. But originally, like I would read my magazines and whatever, fight with them. But it was about 2012 when I feel like I really actually had like an initiation into astrology. I was living in Minneapolis at the time, and I was sitting on my front porch of a place I had just moved into, and my neighbor actually came over, a woman who was a very lovely person. She pointed up at the sky and she was like, oh, there's Venus. Do you see Venus? And I was like, oh, yeah, I see Venus. She's looking good. Like, she is beautiful. And she was at her basically the closest point in in her transit that she gets like to Earth.
Okay.
So it was called an interior conjunction.
And she mean
is in
Venus.
Venus.
Okay.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah. I apologize if any pronoun. I could use they for all of them, but there are sort of yin and yang qualities that are spoken to in.
It feels good.
The language. Yeah, she's very, very lovely. You know, in there's a lot of mythology, like Aphrodite, Inanna. There's a lot of different ways you can like refer to Venus.
Sure.
But, so I had a cool experience where, you know, a female neighbor sort of introduced me to this planet. I, you know, would look at the stars or whatever, but it's a different thing to like really connect, to know the planets, to know their archetypes and their energies. And from that point, I just started learning my chart. I just would like break my chart down into like a graph. It was like the most Virgo thing to do. Okay. Like, okay, what are all the qualities? Like, how do these all relate?
Very micro organizing and getting into depth on that is what you mean by that. And
yeah, very verbal. analytical.
Okay.
Like sort of the glyph for Virgo being like the virgin or like the maiden is actually, it's like the harvest goddess, like, and sort of the analysis of Virgo, or sort of like the time of year and what that sign evokes, is like separating the wheat from the chaff. So I'm like, wheat chaff. Like it's just like in my nature to be like this, not this. So it's very good for like data processing and not great for like decision making. It's like very, when you get into like really fine details of things, it can be hard to pull back and see like the larger picture.
Mm-hmm.
So I have basically just been studying. And
so is that an area then when you read things like that and you figure that out and you correspond with that personally, are those areas that you seek to improve upon?
I mean, I think, yeah, there are definitely there are positive and negative ways to work with any particular placement
sure.
in the chart. I think there are definitely areas that, yeah, the more you learn and the more you're like, oh yeah, I am like this. There's always opportunities to, you know, adjust or recalibrate, you know. I think being aware of tendencies is the first step in rewiring circuitry.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly had plenty of circuitry that was not operating, you know, in the most supportive way.
So this is definitely an art and in a science and a language that is why a lot of people look to for helpful modes and means of ways to for self-improvement, for even, like you said, being self-aware of certain areas that they might not have ever thought about.
And relating to, you know, it's like if I know what my tendencies are, and then if I understand what your mode of communication is or your emotional sort of processing tendencies are, we see each other more clearly,
mm-hmm.
and then we're able to relate more smoothly in theory. So I think that underlies a lot of maybe not initial interest that people have in astrology, but I would say that's that sort of second layer. When you you have to kind of understand yourself, and then you can start looking at other people's charts or composite charts or synastry charts, which are how my chart works with your chart. Basically,
okay.
A composite chart is an amalgam of the two charts. It takes the charts and combines the placements for a midpoints.
Okay.
So it's a little bit more of a hybrid, whereas synastry is just an overlay. I can see how my placements line up to your placements.
Okay. There's a lot of charts.
There are. Yeah. It's a little bit of a endless. I mean, it's the type of study that, you know, if you have a humble approach to it, it is a lifelong practice, and there's always more to be learned or applied. I think most things, the more you think you know about a thing, the more hubris there is,
mm-hmm.
potentially, you know, to lead yourself down arrogant paths. So I think, you know, I try to, especially this has been a really humbling process, putting together these events, because not only am I having to assess my own knowledge and familiarity with a particular sign or archetype, but, you know, meet other people where they are with that,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I had this kind of strong tendency with the Pisces dance to want to, I just had all these notes. I was there's so much I want to talk about. And it was I was over intellectualizing it.
Mm-hmm.
And Pisces is a very intuitive, very dreamy, kind of sort of the glyph of the two fishes is the two fishes are swimming away from each other, but
uh-huh.
it's actually represents consciousness. So we, you said, we come from cosmic, you know, origins.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are physically manifested on the earthly plane,
mm-hmm.
but then the, you know, sort of Piscean being the last place in the zodiac, it's
okay.
It's sort of an amalgam of all of the signs coming together. It's also a place of endings and beginnings, but it is very transcendent.
Okay.
So it's I was coming at my prep process for it is from a very Virgoan, detail oriented kind of picking everything apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sort of had to throw all that out and just be I'm just going to speak about how I've been experiencing this. So I just started with kind of just a list. I was crying in the bathtub, crying in the shower. I was like, this is the, it was like the most full moon, new moon vibes. Like, I was just like, all this water. I'm like not a very watery person. So I was just like flooded in this certain sense. And I'm like, okay, I'm just going to like speak to this. I'm just going to embody this. And I think it was really neat. I shared some like prayers that I had written in other personal like lunar work that I had done. And I kind of shared those like as like a communal like intention setting as we are closing the dance. And we usually do like a little bit of like tea and like refreshments after, just so we have like a chance to kind of like unwind. You know, it's a little bit spiritual, it's a little bit self-expressive, it's a little bit like finding our inner child, you know, is kind of the what I get from it.
Okay. So so that is an area of the class of which you are speaking of. We're going to get back into that, and I'll bring us to that area in just a moment. I did have a question about when you saw, when your neighbor pointed out Venus to you. Venus is bright in the sky a lot in our hemisphere as well, up here in Michigan. But I was wondering, you said specifically 2012, and I was wondering if there were any other things about the world going on at that point that might have also opened up your I guess spans into that. I was just thinking about the Mayan calendar, or was it the Aztec calendar, that people were kind of freaking out about.
Yeah, I remember. I didn't personally gravitate toward. Generally, if there's a lot of people gravitating toward a thing, I'm like, I'm gonna go over here and like ignore that, because it's like there's just something about it's like the. Like there's like a polarizing quality when people like jump on a bandwagon.
Mass hysteria kind of thing.
Yeah, I just it's like let me observe and see what happens. You know, like unless I have a really strong intuition about something, I tend to just let, you know, like my growing up, my dad always said actions speak louder than words. And that was like a very influential mantra to me that just I apply to many areas of my life. But like personally, like astrology wise, I was having a lot of like I was just going into like my Saturn return at that point, and had some pretty wild like personal experiences that were very life changing.
And Saturn return, that is when Saturn makes its way around Earth.
Saturn has a 27 to 29 year cycle. And so, you know, the 27 club, like that's often associated with like the Saturn return for people who are maybe going through some challenging things. That can put a lot of pressure on a person. I personally, there was an experience that I had. My husband actually survived a workplace shooting in Minneapolis at the place where he worked. And a relative of mine was actually killed in the shooting.
Oh, my gosh.
So there was, like, a lot of loss and grief and, like, just being very, like wayward for a while.
I'm so sorry.
Thank you. Yeah, it was not a time I would like to revisit or would wish upon anyone ever. But it's clearly not a whole lot of improvement societally in that regard. But I have tried to, in the wake of that, like, just be more generative. Like, I feel like there's, like, you can choose to let things, like, affect you in a way that is, like, closing off from the world. I think I made a pretty concerted effort in the processing of that experience to try to remain open and to try to like use my talents and my gifts toward like building connectivity and like beauty. And so
very much what it sounds like this class is absolutely doing.
Yeah.
And these events that you're putting together. So along with that, these are, of course, a lot of challenging things are going on at that time in your life. It does sound like this was a very helpful adventure for you, or venturing into an enterprise for you to get into that was not only just surface level, I guess, as some people see it as, What we were speaking of, just looking at your sun sign, moon sign, and everything like that is like a deeply, deeply helpful area of art and practice for you to get into. And it seems like it's a very, as our universe changes, so do we. It sounds like what you try to do is adapt to others to help people get through whatever they need to get through as well.
Yeah, I think most immediate thing I did, like action wise, after like the shooting happened, and I actually ended up going like back into specialty coffee, which was an area I had worked in before, mm-hmm. and then in doing that, like just like serving people, I really enjoy like the interaction, mm-hmm. and I really like crafting drinks for people, and it basically led me to the decision to like launch my own business, which my husband and I did together when we were living. We basically moved from Minneapolis to Northern Michigan, mm-hmm. and we launched Planetary Coffee.
Yeah.
So we had a coffee truck, and then we grew that into a shop, and
And that was up in Elk Rapids area?
Yeah, that was where we ended up. We started in Traverse City with the truck and had like a stall in a marketplace. And then we finally found like a really cool space to build out and have like a full brick and mortar coffee shop. And then we built that out, launched it. And then 1 year later, like to the day, COVID hit. So we ended up just feeling like there was just too many things to like overcome, and mm-hmm. it just wasn't, the direction we wanted to continue to head in. It was a little isolating living in that part of the state, mm-hmm. for me. But it was a good, it was like building something beautiful and generative out of like a tragic situation. Mm-hmm. And that like experience of doing that is like, helped me realize that like, yeah, I can do things, mm-hmm. like there's maybe some privilege involved in the ease of access to certain things, but I'm the only one that tells myself I can't do things.
Yep.
Definitely got a lot of like self-critical sort of tendencies, so it's like you were saying earlier, like it's nice to identify these qualities and then sort of practice like different antidotes to like, the ways in which they're not serving you.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's been kind of an interesting journey of like studying. I remember like early on with the shop, like I'd try to like spit, like I'd listen to something, I'd like learn something, and then I'd be like trying to spit it at people, and then I'd be like getting all tongue-tied, like, oh, I actually don't know how to like talk about this. So it's definitely a process, and everyone learns in their own way. But I tend to like to sort of self-guide myself along the way, and that's been very enriching and
healing.
Yeah,
learning, listening, healing, dancing. All right, what else? And then speaking to during the classes, the next class was once again coming up on April 12th.
April 12th, 7:30 to 9:30 is kind of the time window. So we sort of settle into like a little circle. We have a little hula hoop that we put in the middle, and it's kind of like our little circle to gather around. And then I'll just usually have like something fairly short prepared because we want to be able to dance, you mm-hmm. know, for as long as we're able to. But just having that nice like bookend of like opening up the circle, kind of sharing whatever we feel called to share.
Mm-hmm.
And just I feel like everyone brings something so interesting to the table that like lends itself to the larger. It's like I only need to present so much because the way that as a group, like we all come together, it's like it ends up sort of like providing anything like I miss or I feel like, oh, I should have said that or whatever. It's like it doesn't matter because the group dynamic like provides like whatever my vision is. And that's actually an interesting, like just a side note with like, operating the truck and the business, like, it was a deep learning experience for me in that, like, a vision of something versus, like, what it becomes when it manifests physically in the real world. I had a very hard time, like, letting go of my vision and being, like, a little bit, like, type A about it, just in terms of, like, quality of coffee and, like, what I was bringing to the table. But then, like, sort of the audience or, like, the population of people that was, like, coming to enjoy my thing wasn't always, like, quite at that same level of concern. And I feel like my, over time, my inability to, like, meet people where they were at, like, did not serve me or did not serve, like, the larger endeavor that I was embarking upon. And so that was a really, like, I carry that with me now in all the things that I pursue, because it's, like, I know that, like, my vision is going to be, like, crystal clear and, like, so perfect. And then, like, the physical reality of things is just imperfect. And that's great. It's beautiful. Like, we wouldn't, we need imperfection to like, experience joy and beauty. But it's helped me, like, it's, like, the first dance that we did with the Dance of the Water Bear, I was, like, my partner, like, wished me, he was like, you know, I hope it's successful or whatever. And I was like, it's already successful. Hey. Like, just the fact that I'm doing it is what matters, you know? Yeah. And so, like, that's been really healing as well, as just to allow myself that trust in the vision will, like, it doesn't really matter what it looks like on the physical plane because like, the intention is there. So as long as I stay true to, like, what sort of the impetus or, like, what just the overall urge to bring people together and
the motivation, the drive and everything. Yeah.
So it's like everything will flow from that. And so that's been a really good experience for me to just deepen into that trust and just to be able to share more openly, like, without that, like, need to be, like, micro organizing, micromanaging.
Yeah, it's and you had mentioned the overall encompassing big picture of things being kind of difficult for the Virgo to have, and the fact that you just said it's everything that you've said is everything that you have layered in to what are some kind of, you could say, misconceptions or areas to work on that some people might see as negative, but I as well see them as places that maybe one just needs to be more aware about of themselves. And then that helps other people, like you said, connect to others in that particular way to find out what it is about all of these signs that we all encompass, that just because we're here doesn't mean that we're more strengthened in a particular way because a word says it, because they're written on a piece of paper or anything like that. It's all these strengths that we can find with each other. Emily, I actually want to ask if you would like to come back on after some time in the future to see where you're at with the events that you have going on.
That'd be cool, yeah.
Because there's a lot that we've unpacked, but a lot that I would love to get deeper in with you about. And there's a lot of areas of astrology and everything like that that I would see as fitting and serving to know a little bit better about. And you definitely seem to know the language a lot.
Thank you. I appreciate that. My hope is to do at least one dance for every sign of
the zodiac.
So it'll depend kind of on the month and, like, what's going on and timing and things like that. But that is my goal. But I also do want to put on some other events, like, art-wise. I'm looking to curate a collective art show in the area. Still kind of trying to narrow down my venue options, but my hope is to kind of, like, expand out a little bit in some different
ways. So we're looking for venues.
Yes.
Just putting that out there. All right. Well, thank you once again. So April 12th will be the Balancing Fire. And that's the Aries that falls in line with
it's the sun is in Aries. It's Aries season. But the nature of a full moon is that it's an opposition. So the moon will be in the sign of Libra. The sun will be in the sign of Aries. Ooh. And so balancing, we want it. The dances have been named after the glyph, and the glyph for Libra is the scales, mm-hmm. which points to balance and harmony. There's like an aesthetic quality to Libra that I wanted to include, but I basically balancing fire is how it, you know,
I like it
manifested. So here we are. we're gonna dance it out.
All right, that sounds great. Well, in addition to that, I did text this to you, but I'm going to say this: a happy lunar eclipse. In what sign are we in right now for the lunar eclipse?
Virgo is where the moon is, and then the sun is still in Pisces.
And then we've got a lot of other things going on with
It's a full moon, it's a super moon, it's a lunar eclipse. It's visible from North America. So
yeah, we're right in the
money
spot.
Go out at 2:30 in the morning. Yep. And get your moon goggles on.
I believe it's going on for like 6 hours from beginning to end. So it starts somewhere around, I believe, 11:30 or somewhere around that in our area here in the time zone, Eastern time zone, Detroit area. Please, if you guys get a chance to catch it, definitely do so. Hopefully we get to catch it. Hopefully I'll be awake. and then we can come back and revisit and see if anything special or crazy happens.
Sure, yeah. The eclipses usually are considered to have like a window of like 6 months of, like, it's not like if something's going to happen, it's not necessarily like boom right on the eclipse, mm-hmm. but there's like a sort of a portal that opens. It's sort of a window of like activity. I have experienced actual portals with eclipses. I've experienced some pretty intense eclipse energy. So that's why I'm like a little like happy scared.
It's a good place to be. Yeah. Just as long as we're keeping it positive and like water, you know, going with the flow.
Nice. Yeah, definitely. The element of water is what I'm always seeking to try to embody, even though I constantly forget that it's an option.
Well, Emily, I would love to have you back on Ripper in the very near future. And we will revisit the event of the Balancing Fire, and I will have more information in the show notes below and attached to the link here on Ripper and LCC Connect. All right. Anything else?
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It was a blast.
Awesome. Definitely a blast.
Get ripped.
You're ripped. All right. Have a good day.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks for tuning in to Ripper. You can find more about this and other LCC Connect podcasts at lccconnect.com.